Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, June 19th. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent mum who says she's had to quit her job to home educate her son following a row over his secondary school place allocation. There's also been calls to ban the use of slingshots and catapults across Kent as we see a rise in the number of reported attacks in the county. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Kent NHS trust has apologised after a Tunbridge woman collapsed and died at home just days after being released from hospital. Nicola's been following this story. She's with me now for some more details. Nick, there's been an inquest into the death of Lucy Zaraki. How much do we know about what happened?
Well, very sadly, 36-year-old Lucy died at her home in October 2023. Her husband, Stephen, said he was woken up at around 6 a.m. and saw that she was in severe pain. He went out to get some morphine, but by the time he got back, she'd already collapsed. Emergency services were called and they did try to resuscitate her, but she died at the scene. A post-mortem recorded the death was likely to be due to blood in the pericardial sac, which can be caused by a ruptured aortic aneurysm.
And can you tell us a little bit about Lucy's health history? We know that she did have an underlying health condition.
That's right. She'd previously been diagnosed with vasculitis, a condition which causes the immune system to attack healthy blood vessels. In September 2023, Lucy had been suffering chest pain, which she said radiated to her back, and she was taken to Tunbridge Wells Hospital. Now, a CT scan was ordered, but not all of Lucy's details were made available and included on the CT request form. As a result, the radiologist conducted a screening without all the information and an opportunity to spot an abnormality was missed. Her symptoms were put down to either an inflammatory problem or a flare-up of her vasculitis, and she was discharged from hospital on October the 1st.
And what conclusions did the inquest reach around the cause of her death?
Well, the coroner heard human failings had allowed Lucy's death to happen, and that if further imaging or a different scan had been available, it may have shown an aortic aneurysm. The coroner added, if all the evidence had been made available to each clinician, we might be in a different position. The Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust say they have made several changes in practice to make sure things like this don't happen again. A spokesperson said, following a thorough review of Lucy's care, the Trust took steps to address the issues identified. We are fully committed to learning, developing and improving our services following any recommendations from the coroner.
Thanks, Nick.
Kent Online News.
Crucial evidence in another potential post office scandal has been found in the garage of a retired computer expert and could help clear the name of a sub-postmistress from Canterbury. Pat Owen was convicted of theft in 1998 and given a suspended sentence. The Capture software was used in branches in the 90s before the infamous Horizon system. A Kent police inspector who inappropriately touched a younger colleague at a Christmas party in Canterbury has been banned from the force. Steve Dunnett has appeared before a gross misconduct hearing after allegations were made following the night out in December 2023. The panel found he would have been dismissed if he hadn't already left his job. Two teenagers have been arrested as part of a crackdown on antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay. The 14 and 15-year-olds have been questioned on suspicion of offences, including shoplifting, criminal damage, theft of a vehicle and possessing drugs. Police say they won't tolerate nuisance behaviour in the town. Now, a Kent mum's told us she's had to quit her job over the stress of trying to find her son a secondary school place. Sam Brace lives on Sheppey and her boy didn't get into either of the schools on the island. He's been given a place at the Abbey in Faversham instead. That's more than 20 miles away and Sam says it's not an option.
We've had to appeal and go through the rigmarole of the appeals and the stress, writing letters, fighting our son's case. It's quite detrimental to our own mental health, his mental health, because he feels like no one wants him. When actually he's a really lovely boy.
If nothing does happen between now and September, what are you going to do? He's currently got a place at the Abbey, as you said, 22-mile round trip. Are you going to put him into that school, or what will happen if not?
We can't put him into the school. It's logistically, it's a complete nightmare. There's no direct route through any of the school's travels. So it's just homeschool.
Would you be prepared to homeschool him?
I'd have to.
Would that mean quitting a job for you?
I've already had to quit my job because of all the stress that this has caused. My husband and I both can't be working full time, plus fighting for his school place, plus obviously having to then maybe homeschool him in September if he's not being given a place in a school that we're able to get into.
I'm sure it's something you're very passionate about.
It's horrible. It's really, really horrible because it's something that I've had to do to try and obviously get ready for September. It's something that I shouldn't have had to do in the first place.
And do you feel like you're being listened to by the County Council?
No.
What would you like to say to them?
A communication would be really great. An apology for them to actually accept that this is their issue, that they should be openly sorting out and letting us know what they're doing and as and when they're doing it.
Councillor Maxwell Harrison represents Sheppey at the County Council.
We've had relevant meetings with the Cabinet Member for Education Skills, wrote a letter recently. We've had a recent meeting with parents to try and find out each individual case and how we can support them. So we've been really busy because actually people on the island deserve better than what's been happening. What's gone on in this building hasn't been their fault. And we've got to make sure that parents and children have got space come this September.
Is it acceptable what happened?
No, not at all. It's absolutely diabolical what's gone. It's a sham. It is a disgrace. And my job and Isabella's job, along with the education department here, is to ensure that this does not happen next year. We're already aware that more children will be up for places next year. So this is, right at the moment in time, it's a sticky plaster on a gashing wound. And we've got to make sure that come next year, we've got the relevant procedures, protocols in place to make sure that every single child on the island Sheppey has got an island school.
I was just speaking to one of the parents. They still haven't got a place. They've got a school in Faversham, the Abbey, which is, they say, completely unacceptable. She's already quit her job because she's going to have to homeschool. I mean, we're going to be in a position where it's going to be, at the moment, there are 40 children still without a place, more than 40 children. There could be tens of children without a school place and being homeschooled. Is that something you want to see?
Not particularly, because I think that what children deserve is an education in a school with the right environment. I've got my reservations about homeschooling, but I completely understand parents whom, when you look at the allocation of over 2.5 hours away, it's absolutely disastrous. And Kemp and I will do anything in our power, along with this building, to ensure that those who are going to Faversham will be supported every single inch and mile. But again, you know, I completely understand parents' frustrations. It's not on, not acceptable, and Kent County Council needs to do better.
I mean, they don't want to homeschool themselves, but they don't want to send their child to Faversham. Is there any other alternative, or is it going to have to be Faversham?
At the moment, in conversations we've had with schools on the island, there is no movement on school places. I'm hopeful that might change between now and September, and we've seen today in a couple of appeals children have been successful, but you know, we're going to work over time. I've had a really positive meeting with Kevin McKenna, the Member of Parliament for Citybourne and Sheppey, and he's going to speak with schools in Citybourne as well as ourselves to see if there might be any room. This is a massive problem. It's only going to get worse, and our job is to, you know, look after people right now, because in 12 months' time we do not want to be in the same position.
KCC say both secondary schools on Sheppey were oversubscribed, but add the appeals process may generate some movement.
Kent Online News.
A home care agency in Chatham has been placed in special measures after inspectors found breaches of safety and quality of service. Bright Brains Global Limited provides personal care for people with mental and physical disabilities, but concerns have been raised over issues including medicine management and staffing. They've been rated inadequate by the CQC, who say rapid improvements need to be made. It's been revealed bosses in Medway spent £100,000 trying to evict a group of travellers from a car park in Gillingham. The group of gypsy families have been living at the Wigmore Park and Ride car park for 2 years after being temporarily moved there. After they didn't leave in October, council spent taxpayers' money to try to move them on, but a court ruled against them. Farm animals have been removed from a pub garden in Medway. Goats, pigs, rabbits and chickens have been kept at the Wagon and Hale in Chatham for several years. The landlady says she was unaware a law had come into force, meaning she needed a licence and getting one would have been too expensive. Now, there are calls for tougher rules around who can buy and use catapults, as hundreds of attacks have been reported to police in Kent. Figures seen by Kent Online show they dealt with 159 in 2023, 141 last year and 45 in just the first 3 months of 2025. At the moment, there's no age restriction for buying a catapult and they're not classed as offensive weapons. Adam Rayner is from Slingshot World magazine. He's been speaking to Kristen from our colleagues at KMTV.
Well, my personal opinion is it's like trying to ban trees and physiotherapy, which it can't be done. Every tree with a fork, every physiotherapy, there are 65,000 members of the Professional Association of Physiotherapy. They all use rubber bands, as do postmen. There's something in your magazine about how to make catapults out of sticks and rubber bands that you find in an office. It's a genie you're not putting back in the bottle. What we need to do is catch the people who are misbehaving with them. We're talking about rubber bands here. You might as well try and sweep sand uphill. It's a lovely thought, But the only people that are going to get affected by that are the sort of youngsters who probably would behave themselves and not do the wrong thing to that degree in any case. Whether they should be licensed, again, we're not talking about things that have been manufactured with many special parts by engineers.
What would your ideas be then to sort of stop this animal cruelty from happening?
Well, the sort of morons who do this behaviour are the ones who are contravening the one single thing. Blood sports is a big issue, but there's a term called a sitting duck for anything that literally is too stupid to get out of the way. This is not sports, this is not clever, this is not intelligent, this is just murderous cretinism. And that is literally what these little unbroadcastable word insert here are doing. There's an awful lot of video surveillance for us. There tend to be hot spots. Speak to the Swan Sanctuary, speak to various people at some of the country parks. I've had them contact me going, what can we do? And there is technology. You can strap them up trees and catch these people on camera. But more than that, it might be good for, if possible, for some time, for some of the rural crimes units to have a bit of serious focus on this. And for there to be quite serious example made.
In the most recent case, a 16-year-old boy has appeared in court in Folkestone and admitted killing a seagull with a catapult.
Kent Online News.
Nearly a week after severe thunderstorms flooded properties in Dover, 37 people are still living in temporary accommodation. Residents were forced to flee their homes as a month's worth of rain fell across the town in under 30 minutes. Some have criticised local drainage, saying it's not fit for purpose. The council say any system would have struggled in the conditions. A military site in Kent that was hidden underground for 50 years is now open to the public. The Fan Bay Gun Emplacement near Dover was built during the Second World War but was covered up in the 1970s. It's been excavated and restored by the National Trust, so visitors can now go on tours and see where soldiers worked and lived. Plans have been put forward to replace the old RNLI lifeboat station in Margate. The new building will provide modern crew training and changing facilities, as well as a new retail area and a meeting space. The 50-year-old original will be demolished. Construction work is due to start in September. The man in charge of the FA in Kent has told the Kent Online podcast one case of violence on the football pitch is one too many as they try to clamp down on bad behaviour. There have been a number of reports of violence over the past season. One included a group of grown men storming the pitch of an under-10s game after a scrap broke out between the players. Our reporter Sean McPollen has been chatting to Kent FA chairman Daryl Hayden about his experience as a referee.
For the very first game, you realise that you're in a confrontation situation. The confrontation really is about you making decisions that want 50% of the people accept and 50% of the people don't accept. So I think you're making decisions that are going to please some and not please others.
So in terms of like a violence, and then what was the first one that you sort of encountered?
Yeah, sort of the biggest, yeah, most impressionable one was I was asked to referee a game out at Westrum, and I was actually approached by a team that said, because I commented about a man's behaviour, and I was trying to sort of say, look, he's off the tackles, you're a bit late there, that kind of thing. And one of his own teammates said, you need to get rid of him, you need to send him off. And I'm thinking, what, your own teammate is saying that? And then within a couple of minutes, I realised why. He went crashing into a tackle and it was a straight red card. So that was that dealt with, but I wasn't expecting somebody to jump on my back and try and whip the whistle out of my mouth. So he did that. I bit down on my whistle and my tooth broke. That was the first big assault against me, and that went to the KCFA at the time, and the man was dealt with. I don't know what the outcome was, other than we had a commission, and I felt that I was supported by KCFA because they took it seriously.
And you sort of listed quite a few examples in your email to me about other incidences. How many do you think you've sort of had to deal with over the years, and do you think they've got worse?
Well, they have got worse, yeah. I think the level of violence that people are willing to engage in is worse. And I've been on the receiving end of that severity, of which one case is is still going to court. So I can say that over the 25 years, from my own perspective, things have got worse. I think it's society, really. We're just a reflection of society. We're society that takes place for 90 minutes on a piece of grass, but we're still the same people. I don't think it's football's problem. I think football can be a tool that people feel they can express their hostilities, and they too are in a cocoon, thinking that they're not constrained by the laws of the land. That's how it feels. So things that wouldn't be acceptable in the street gravitate towards the grass or the astro, and yeah, it's as if the law doesn't, you know, beyond the white line, the laws of the land aren't adhered to, don't need to be adhered to. But my view on it is I'll report anything that happens to me. I'm not there to be a punch bag. I'm not there to be insulted. So yeah, I regularly report stuff going through. But I've had, you know, when I've cautioned people or sent people off, I've had cards knocked out of my hand. In a six-a-side competition, I was grabbed around the neck from the front. The bloke just sort of grabbed my clothing, told me that he was going to bite my effing nose off. Thankfully, the other team came in and restrained him, and nothing more happened. I've been jostled by 15-year-old boys in a tournament. Wasn't expecting that. That was 2 years ago. I've been threatened by a parent with a chair because I sent his son off. He told me he was going to effing have me. Yeah, so again, that's reported to the police, it's reported to KCFA. So people, you know, the authorities do take it on.
There are more than 2,000 games in Kent every week, and an incident is reported in around 1%. Organisers of this summer's Manston International Air Show have announced they'll be raising money for two charities. Profits will be shared between the air ambulance charity Kent, Surrey, Sussex and Brain Tumour Research. It takes place on the 16th and 17th of August. A search is on for a company to run the new Folkestone's Lee's Lift Cafe. Bosses say it'll be open 7 days a week throughout the year and could generate £500,000. The lift is expected to reopen next spring after a major refurb.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Maidstone are looking for a business that wants to run their new food market in the town centre. The idea is to increase the amount of fresh local produce available to shoppers and support local growers. It's thought the market could be held in Jubilee Square or Coronation Square once a month. Bosses of a luxury hotel in Kent have unveiled plans to create a country club style resort. The Cave Hotel and Golf Resort, which sits between Faversham and Canterbury, is popular with celebs like Jessie Nelson and Carrie Hope Fletcher. Expansion plans include a new 36-bed hotel, spa extension, driving range and paddle tennis facilities. A former motorbike shop in Dartford that once appeared in an episode of The Inbetweeners could be knocked down to make way for a hotel. Flats are also proposed for the site in West Hill, but residents say it's become a landmark since featuring in the TV comedy. The plans will be discussed by council today. You can see pictures of the proposed development at Kent Online. And Kent's Mimi Webb has been on our sister station KMFM talking about her upcoming tour. The Red Flag singer has been on the hit list with Jack and told him she's looking forward to getting out in front of her own fans.
I just can't wait. I think I'm just kind of like so grateful to be able to go on tour again. I think sometimes when you're doing it so much, you just don't realise you're doing it, and you kind of, you know, it becomes norm. But then when you have time away and you come back to it, it just feels better than ever and just so much more exciting.
And you're so much fun to watch on stage. Like I've been looking all the way through YouTube from your beginnings to now, and like House on Fire, Red Flags, everything's an absolute banger. Love Languages, I'm sure, is going to absolutely go off. So I cannot wait to see you back out in action. Well, you should be on a stage in front of all these people that want to come and sing your songs to you.
I know, honestly, it just means the world. And I just think just to be, you know, united with everyone again, because I've been doing a lot of support tours, which have been so fun, but they're never really your own fans. So just to have all my own people there to support me is just so exciting.
I am going to make one request for somebody who would love to come and see you.
Yeah.
Your collaboration on stage with Joe Jonas singing, what is it, that Lady Gaga
Shallow.
Song.
Shallow, yeah.
Please. please, please add that to the set.
I would love that. Like, maybe there'll be some place that he's there and he don't, you know, he wouldn't mind coming up. I think I was so nervous though singing that with him. It's just, it's, you know, I've been watching Camp Rock at like the age of. Do you know what's really crazy? I used to watch it, like, I think I was, like, 13, and it'd be Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas doing the duet.
Yeah.
I remember saying to myself, I want to be singing that duet with him. I want to be that girl. And then it actually happened to me. It was the most scariest thing ever.
Manifesting at 13. I mean,
honestly.
Dreams do come true, Mimi.
Honestly, I never thought that. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm literally doing a duet with him.
Like, did you have to, like... go up to him and just kind of touch him and go, you're real. You're absolutely real.
I was like, I said to him, I was like, just, you know, like at sound check, I was like, just, you know, I'm really nervous. And he looked at me, I was warning him. I was like, just, you know, I'm really nervous. Please just don't talk to me.
If you missed their chat, you can catch up at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket Now and Kent have been beaten in their latest game in the T20 Blast. Harry Finch top scored with 42 as they set Gloucestershire a victory target of 158 at Canterbury. The visitors reached that target with 10 balls to spare despite a short break when low sun stopped play. Staying with cricket, and Kent, Zach Crawley is going to be opening the batting for England in the opening test against India on Friday. Meantime, Chris Wokes will make his comeback from injury in the game at Headingley. Rugby Now and Kent's Ben Earl and Alex Mitchell will make their debut for the British and Irish Lions on Friday, ahead of their tour of Australia this summer. They're among eight who will feature for the first time as they take on Argentina in Dublin. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.